field, tears welling up, cold and deep inside. Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, where you hear about the business of the casino entertainment industry from the people who make it happen. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and this week we feature a discussion with Aaron Gomes, the Chief Operating Officer for Peninsula Pacific Entertainment, on how the company is opening the first gaming establishments in the state of Virginia and why he believes this will be a lucrative business. Today's GGB podcast is brought to you by the Red Wagon Institute. The Red Wagon Institute delivers experiential learning and leadership training to make your teams exceptional. Visit redwagoninstitute.com today for more information. Race is on and it looks like parties, and the winner loses all. Virginia is one of the few states remaining to consider casino gaming. While no decision has been made, a legislative study has been mandated. In the meantime, however, Peninsula Pacific Entertainment bought the state's only racetrack, Colonial Downs, and the rights that came with it. Aaron Gomes has been running the operations in Virginia, where Colonial Downs was recently approved to offer historic horse racing machines, or HHRs. Gomes explains how the Peninsula Pacific plan has established several Rosie's gaming emporiums throughout the state with plans for more. He spoke with me at Colonial Downs Racetrack outside of Richmond in August. Now the race is on and here comes Brad in the backstretch. Heartaches going to the inside. Aaron Gomes, thanks for joining us on the podcast today. It's good to see you. It's been a while since we got together. I think the last time we did a podcast, we were sitting in your office and your father's office at resorts in Atlantic City. So it's been that long.
It's been a while, but always good to see you. And you never change. You look the same. So ageless.
Well, you too.
Thank you.
You're a lot younger though. So. So congratulations on the opening of the historical racing parlors here in Virginia. I just got a tour of the place here at Colonial Downs and did a first-class job, and I can imagine on the weekend it's pretty packed.
Absolutely. We couldn't be more pleased with the reception we've got, and all the feedback is extremely positive. We've put a lot of money in, a lot of effort, and I think we're very happy with where we're headed.
We now
have not only opened the track, which was the first one to open with 600 games, mm-hmm. Which we opened about 3 months ago, and then we followed that up with a location in Vinton, mm-hmm. a little town right outside of Roanoke with 150 games.
Okay.
Followed by a location in Richmond, which opened last month. And that has 700 games, and we have another 700 games opening in Hampton in the fall, and then followed up by hopefully Chesapeake with 700 games early in 2020.
Okay, so that's going to give you a total of, what, almost 3,000 games?
Yeah, just about 3,000 games, which is where our temporary regulations restrict us to right now. That would put us at 2,850, mm-hmm. and then obviously we could move some games around and get to 3,000.
But you're actually approved for 10 locations across the state.
We are. Yeah. So our license, since we own the track, which they consider the significant infrastructure holder based on the legislation, mm-hmm. allows us to open up to 10 locations across the Commonwealth.
Okay. And this is the only racetrack in Virginia?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct.
And is there a possibility for another one, or is this the only one that Virginia will have at this point?
You know what? This is the only one. There is a harness track, but we are currently the only one, and there's no other plans to build another track.
Okay.
In the Commonwealth.
Great. So. And this was closed before you.
It was closed.
Did it ever open?
Oh yeah. No, yeah. It had been open. They had racing here for, I want to say, don't hold me to it, 10 plus years.
Yeah. Okay.
The last races were in 2013. Mm-hmm. Then track closed down, and we had put an option to build it. And as you know, across the country, horse racing's hard to survive without some kind of supplement.
Sure.
Through gaming, and so we kind of followed the Kentucky model with getting HHR passed, mm-hmm. and which allowed us to open horse racing. And our purses for the races, we have 15 days starting this Thursday. With about over 500,000 in purses per day, which is pretty significant
no question.
When compared to other tracks around the country.
Yeah. Well, it's a beautiful location as well. It's in the rolling hills of eastern Virginia and not far from Richmond, halfway between Richmond and Williamsburg. So I think you'll probably get a pretty nice turnout for the races, I guess.
We hope so. We're projecting up to 5,000 people per race day. We've invested a lot of money in the track and the racing infrastructure, the barns, et cetera. So we have our... We've set high standards and high goals for what we expected.
So I played my first HHR machine before we met, and it looks just like a slot machine, kind of like the old bingo machines when you'd see the little bingo card in the corner of the window, and now you see a little flash of a race.
Yep.
Okay, so why don't you explain how these work for people who've never played them?
Yeah, so it's similar to, a Class 2 bingo game in that the... experience for the player is very similar in terms of time on device, payouts, hold percentage. You could set the takeout or hold percentage like a slot machine anywhere from 3% to 12-15%. The only difference is you're not playing against a house. You're playing into a pari-mutuel pool, so essentially playing against other players. But other than that, the experience is almost identical. The themes are very similar. They look, as you can attest to, like a slot machine. But that very important difference is that you're playing against other players.
Right. And the determining factor is the historical horse race.
Correct. So what you're betting on our games, which are predominantly exacta games here, is the outcome of three historical horse races simultaneously. So each time you spin, if you get the top three horses from all three, that's when you hit the biggest jackpot. And then if you get one winner from one race and different win play shows from the others, you get different combinations of the pool.
Okay. So it's not quite a random number generator, but it is still random for the most part.
Yeah, and you could actually go in and handicap the horses so you get limited statistics on winning percentage of the horse without any identifying factors. You can't Google it. But if you just hit the auto cap button on the game, it plays similar to a slot machine. You just hit spin, and you're automatically picking the top three pre-race favorites from all three races.
So can you... can you actually go into this window and pick the horses you
want? You can select the horses, move them around. Most players don't do that.
Right.
A vast majority don't, actually. But you can. You have the opportunity to handicap if that's what you're into.
Okay. So how are the people responding here in Virginia? Up until now, there's been no gambling in Virginia itself. So are people just curious? Or are these people who have gambled someplace else and now are coming here?
I think it's a combination of both. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of customers that have played elsewhere and are just thanking us for bringing their entertainment hobby closer to home, which is great to hear. But we also have a lot of people who are just new to the market, either liked horse racing prior and wanted to check it out and now have fun playing the games. So I would say it's a combination of both growing the market as well as giving players who were having to travel 2+ hours away anywhere in Virginia.
Sure.
The closest casino is pretty much 2 hours away, except unless you're in the northern Virginia, something to do closer to home.
Okay. Today's GGB podcast is brought to you by the Red Wagon Institute. The Red Wagon Institute's unique courses are designed to monumentally change your people and your business. Red Wagon Institute's skilled trainers guide teams through experiential courses to help your team members become exceptional leaders, to discover their potential, and to bring new possibilities of success to your business. The bottom line? Red Wagon Institute helps you create outstanding teams. Visit redwagoninstitute.com today for more information. And now back to our interview. So you branded it as Rosie's. What's the idea behind that?
Well, we all know that typical slot customer is a middle-aged to older demographic female. And so we did a lot of focus groups with the core demographic we see from the other properties that we operate. And the name just seemed to resonate. Mm-hmm. And we liked the tie-in to horse racing with roses. Like you put around a... horse's neck when they win, and it just you can't no one's ever known a Rosie that isn't happy and evoke a positive emotion.
Right,
so
right.
It's like the feeling of the name, and focus groups loved it, and the tying with horses just seemed like the perfect combination.
So, you know, Virginia seems to be moving into the gaming world pretty quickly here. I know there was a bill last year that would have legalized gaming, but at the last minute they figured, well, let's study it first. I guess that's probably a pretty good idea to do a study on how it would impact them first. So where are we now in that process?
So we were big proponents of obviously we're in gaming.
Mm-hmm.
Here we're in historical horse racing, but it's our first foray into it. We're traditional casino operators and owners. So we're proponents of gaming, but we're also proponents of you have one opportunity to make the right decision.
Right.
Let's study it and do it right.
Mm-hmm.
So we think Virginia is doing the right thing by they just hired a group to do the study, and they're looking at how to maximize revenue across the Commonwealth with gaming and how best to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully taking the horse racing industry into consideration and us into consideration as well. I mean, we've invested $300 million in the Commonwealth already. We have 800 jobs full-time right now,
mm-hmm.
on our way to 1,200,
right.
$40 million in payroll a year, and generating a significant amount of taxes for the Commonwealth. With only three locations open, we generated about $2 million in taxes and industry payments in the month of July. So.
And what is the tax rate on the age of your machines?
So the tax rate is actually a percentage of handle.
Okay. Here.
So we pay about 1.25% of handle,
mm-hmm.
which based on the hold, anywhere from roughly 15 to 20%.
Mm-hmm.
And then we supplement the purses. So
right.
That's a good chunk of change, 6 to 7% of the revenue.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, you also have, which you don't see in Class 3 facilities, we have a technology fee paid to the
right.
manufacturer, which is a pretty good chunk of change
mm-hmm.
of the revenue, percentage of the revenue.
Sure, sure.
So blended all together, we're roughly 35%.
Okay. Okay. So are you working with one manufacturer?
We are.
Yeah.
Exacta Systems.
Okay.
After a year of operation, we're going to evaluate
mm-hmm.
another option. We have some options to bring in other operators.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I noticed that I couldn't really identify any of the you know, real popular machines from the casinos, obviously just the themes. But would you like to bring those kind of themes in here that people recognize?
You know, I think it would help.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
The games that are popular in Class 3 facilities, it wouldn't hurt to have similar themes here
mm-hmm.
that people are familiar with. That being said, I think Exacta does a great job. Their themes are fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Players are very receptive. The feedback we've gotten is players like playing these as much as a lot of the Class 3 games that
right.
they play in traditional casinos.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the feedback we've gotten on a lot of Class 2 games, too, from the Indian country.
Well, we operate against Class 2 in some properties,
sure.
and we wish we could have Class 2 in some of the Class 3 facilities.
Okay, yeah, right, exactly, right. So what about tribal gaming here? We know the Pamunkey tribe got federal recognition a couple of years ago and are planning at least one casino resort. How do they fit into the Virginia gaming landscape?
Well, look, that's up to the lawmakers to decide.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's a long way to go to
mm-hmm.
get federally approved to build a casino off your reservation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I know they're working through the process of trying to get some land put into trust, and obviously it depends on how this Class 3 commercial gaming legislation goes on where
right.
they'd want to go. So there's a lot of moving pieces right now, and I think this next session and the study is going to have probably the biggest impact
right.
on the future of tribal gaming and commercial gaming.
Sure,
and
sure.
Terminal.
Well, I know you have to conduct referendums in each region you want to go into, and it sounds like that's what they're envisioning for with Class 3 as well. With I know Bristol wants a casino, or at least some people there want it, and some of the other states along
yep.
the southern border. Is there any possibility of casinos up in Northern Virginia, where certainly the population is centered?
Again, up to the study,
mm-hmm.
which will inform the legislation.
Right.
So there's definitely opportunity and population up there. And I think it's smarter to just allow the citizens in each of these communities to speak and vote on the referendum, right? Yeah. If the legislation passes, it doesn't mean that those communities get a casino.
Right.
If they don't want them, they don't have to vote for it.
Right.
So I definitely think there's opportunity up there. I think the study will probably show that there's ample demand up mm-hmm. there. And so, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, exactly. So I think sports betting was a little bit a part of this legislation as well that again, has been tabled. What do you see happening with sports betting? And how would you take care of, incorporate sports betting into Rosie's parlors here?
Well, we would love to, right?
Yeah.
We think it's an added amenity we'd mm-hmm. love to offer. We have the infrastructure for it, mm-hmm. the cage and the IT and technology components,
sure.
security, surveillance.
Mm-hmm.
Although for the study, sports wagering is included in that. So they'll be studying that as well as
okay.
Online gaming in with the casinos. So
mm-hmm.
I believe that study's due back sometime in November if it's on time. And that'll be right before the 2020 session begins.
Okay. So you mentioned you have the temporary regulations you're operating under right now. Is that... is there a gaming commission here in Virginia? And if not, when will these regulations become permanent?
So we're under the Virginia Racing Commission, the
okay.
VRC. They are the ones who are responsible for regulating us,
mm-hmm.
Horse racing and HHR. So we receive temporary regulations which allow for 3,000 games across the Commonwealth, and there's some population factors. For instance, if it's under 20,000 population in the county or city where we want to operate, we're limited to 150 games, up to 60,000, 300 games, and above 120,000, we could have up to 700 games.
Okay.
So, as you said, temporary regulations, they could change based on the feedback that the administration, the VRC, receives from citizens.
Okay. So does the Racing Commission really know about gaming? I mean, is this something they've had to learn?
They've learned very quick. They've
yeah.
been great to work with.
Mm-hmm.
They brought in a couple individuals with gaming experience
mm-hmm.
and have just been fantastic. And
okay.
I think have set a high bar for any future, whether casinos fall under the VRC or a new gaming commission,
mm-hmm.
they've set the bar pretty high with standards, and we hope we set the bar pretty high for them and
sure.
kept them happy.
Great. So let's talk about your company overall. You're working with people that used to run Peninsula Gaming, which was eventually bought by Boyd Gaming. How long ago was that?
That was, I believe, 2013.
Mm-hmm.
So I joined them right after they sold Peninsula Gaming
okay.
to Boyd.
Right.
It was about a $1.5 billion transaction.
Okay.
And then we started building what now is Peninsula Pacific Entertainment.
Right, okay.
So we currently own Diamond Jack's in Bossier City, Louisiana.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We have Del Lago Casino in upstate New York.
Right.
We have Kansas Crossing in southeastern Kansas, a little
mm-hmm.
town called Pittsburgh.
Okay.
And then our Virginia operations, and looking at opportunities daily
sure.
To grow the company
mm-hmm.
and keep expanding.
You know, Del Lago is part of those four casinos that was built in New York just in the last couple of years. A lot of people are disappointed in the revenues that are coming out of there. Are you happy with what's happening at Del Lago?
I don't think anybody's, I would say, happy with the revenue numbers at any of the
mm-hmm.
commercial
right.
casinos up there. That being said, we think we're in a good position with sports wagering. Coming, our draft partnership with DraftKings, we're opening a sports book in less than a month here, and we think that'll bring in a lot of additional guests to the property. And then there's lots of positives that have been discussed in the legislative session that hopefully come back next year. For instance, online sports wagering would be a big catalyst
mm-hmm.
for growth,
right.
and other things that us as casinos are pushing and trying to get to help us.
Sure, absolutely. And Louisiana, your property's in Bossier City. It's almost a saturated market at this point. What are your plans for that market?
Very saturated. it's just been hit by all the states surrounding it and tribal gaming. But we're looking at several options there. One is to completely redevelop Diamond Jacks. We have plans and have been working on them for over a year now. That's one option. Or, as you said, pretty saturated market. If there's opportunity to move that license elsewhere in the state, we've identified a couple locations where be a possibility. So kind of have two good options, and again, waiting on this legislative session to see which direction we're going to go. And it's not going to be no direction. It's going to be one of those.
Right. Well, it sounds like you got your hands full here, certainly in Virginia. I know you're living in Virginia now to develop this, and you know, it's just an interesting state and interesting developments here, and your company, I think, is right in the middle of it. So thanks for taking the time to meet with me. I really enjoyed the property. I think you're doing a great job, and let's stay in touch. I want to hear about Virginia as it continues to develop.
Well, great to see you, and thanks for the opportunity. Here comes in the backstretch, the heartaches going to the inside. My
tears are holding back there, I'm trying not to fall. Hope you enjoyed this week's GGB podcast, sponsored by the Red Wagon Institute, which delivers experiential learning and leadership training to make your teams exceptional. Visit Red Wagon Institute today for more information. To learn more about historic horse racing machines and gaming expansion in Virginia, visit ggbmagazine.com. To get the essential gaming news of the week on your desktop every Monday morning, subscribe to GGB News at ggbnews.com. And to attract the best players to your poker, casino, or sports betting websites, check out iGamingPlayer.com. We'll see you next week on the GGB Podcast. She's on and here comes pride in the backstretch. Heartaches are going to the inside. My tears are holding back there. I'm trying not to fall. My heart's out of the running to love. Scratch for another save. The race is on and it looks like heartaches. And the winner loses all. The winner loses all.